Addresses by the beloved masters Maha Chohan and Pallas Athena, Goddess of Truth. Introduction. Our love and gratitude extends to our beloved Maha Chohan, the Holy Comforter, to the beloved Pallas Athena, the Goddess of Truth, and to the beloved Hilarion and the Brotherhood of Truth at Crete. May the fullest outpouring of the cosmic flame of cosmic truth sweep through the consciousness of all mankind, particularly through those who are leaders of the thinking, the education, the religious worship of the masses, and the wisdom and counsel of the ascended hierarchy again be sought by the peoples of earth and incorporated into their individual and collective endeavors to create the full perfection of God's divine will for this earth and all its attendant evolutions. Thomas Prince. Imparting the Divine Plan. Beloved Maha Chohan's Address, January 1954. Beloved ones, I would like to bring to your remembrance some of the endeavors in which a particular group of the celestial hierarchy has invested its energies, which include the thought and the fully gathered momentum of love, wisdom, and power of each of its constituents, who has earned the right to active membership under the banner of the Lord of the World through investment of the primal essence of his life in the cosmic endeavor through accumulated thought, feeling, and action. Every intelligence who applies to the universal first cause for the use of life and who is granted a flow of that stream of life energy begins to create a personal heritage the moment the first electron is placed within the keeping of the free will of the individual. All through the ages, that spiritual heritage, which becomes wisdom, understanding, faith, beauty, and other divine qualities, is builded, and for many, at the same time, is builded the personal heritage of karma, which must be expiated, as they proceed on their journey through life until their debt is paid. This expiation is possible of achievement quickly through a knowledge of the use of the sacred fire in its purifying activity, as well as by merit gained through service to the cause of good. The great guardians of the race, through the developed faculty of the inner sight, watch the building of the spiritual heritage of the evolving souls, which becomes the glorious aura of the causal body. And from time to time, individual life streams, chosen because of that accumulated store of good, are given an opportunity of becoming part of the purpose and cause, which is the forwarding of the divine plan for the planet in its evolution. These individuals who have developed certain dexterity along particularly constructive lines greatly hasten their own evolution, if they accept the opportunity to serve when it is offered them by the karmic board, Sanat Kumara himself or his representatives. The masters, however, in choosing individuals, are fully conscious and cognizant that the accumulated store of good in the causal body, upon which they pin their faith and hope, will very often be counterbalanced by the destructively generated karma which the personality has not expiated, either through suffering or through grace, and this condition often proves to be the deciding factor in his continued usefulness to the cause. If he has love enough to be willing to expiate his karma and serve at the same time according to the great spiritual strength and momentum of his life stream, which makes his victory a possibility but not a preordained fact, owing to free will, he will successfully pass through the great initiation of self-denial. However, the successful achievement of this manifestation is wholly dependent upon the determination and tenacity of the ego to rise above the human tendency to give allegiance to form rather than essence, which oft-times causes the aspirant to relinquish the plan no matter how carefully and perfectly it is designed at inner levels. When an individual or a group comes to a certain point of development, and at the same time a cosmic moment is struck in the history and evolution of a planet or system, the governing board of the spiritual hierarchy presents to possible servers the plan, the vision, and the part which each one, individually or collectively as part of that group, may play in the world scene. As the wise director carefully casts the members of his play, so does the director of the cosmic scene carefully designate those who might effectively further the divine plan through the world of form. Then, voluntarily, the individual soul or ego may accept or reject the opportunity to serve, although he is fully aware that through this service he may achieve his own eternal freedom. You may remember that there was a number of life streams who could have rendered a tremendous service to the Master Jesus, and there was a number who could have rendered a similar service to the Lord Buddha and did not. But as the law of the Brotherhood can never force anyone to become part of an impersonal cause, oft-times the individual who volunteers will have barely a minimum of the momentum required against 100 individuals with a maximum capacity who refuse the opportunity. It is a solemn and serious meeting when the hierarchy presents a plan which they would like to externalize to a group of free spirits functioning in the happier medium of the etheric or higher mental bodies. The first part of that activity is beautiful, inspiring, and uplifting, because the master powers at inner levels throw on the cosmic screen their developed plan showing the magnificent accomplishment by which an entire race will receive, perhaps, the use of the electric light, the airplane, the removal of certain so-called incurable diseases, and many other racial benefits. At this time, all those discarnates who have been selected by the Silent Watcher as being capable of comprehending this vision and carrying it through the veil of birth to fruition are present. All of those who through many ages have earned stripes of merit, we will say, for work well done, enjoy the spectacle and are filled with the enthusiasm of the sponsor. But then, as each individual who professes a willingness to be a part of that cause comes forward, he is forced to look upon his own karma, which stands like an obstacle or a wall between him and the fulfillment of his part, and hear many drop from the role of volunteers, leaving only the boldest, the strongest, or the most loving, who are willing to take the vision in one hand, as it were, and the weight of his karma in the other, and passing through the gates of birth, endeavor to externalize the vision, expiate the karma, and keep the faith. Many times the weight of karma is such that the work cannot be accomplished according to its best manifest expression, and this was particularly evident before the comprehension of the use of the sacred fire of forgiveness and mercy was made apparent to the outer consciousness. And even now it is expedient that individuals realize that those who stand with their hands in those of the masters, endeavoring to externalize the divine plan, yet carry the burden of their own karma, and although they may not be the fullness of ourselves incarnate, they at least are those who volunteered to endeavor to spread our word and our vision, and so manifest the glory of the inner light, having looked upon the weight of their own karma and willingly fitted it to their shoulders before attempting the task. For each one who has accepted the mission, 1,000 who were perhaps better qualified to perform the service have refused to accept the responsibility. Understanding and tolerance of this sacrifice, which is in a measure that which the beloved Buddha spoke of in referring to his own tremendous endeavors to make sacred his life stream, is the constant service of the workers in the vineyard who help their fellow men with one hand and clear their own worlds of the mire and accumulation of the ages with the other. It is good that the universal good created two hands, for one individual development and one for impersonal service. If either is withered, the spiritual body in mastery is incomplete. I have watched the endeavor of the law to bring to the understanding of the people of earth the reality of the existence of the hierarchy for the past 150 years. We are really now in the third phase of this one endeavor. In it, some of you have played a part once, some of you twice, while some have touched the fringe of the endeavor on three occasions. When early in the 19th century, the cosmic law called the attention of the hierarchy to the necessity of bringing to the outer consciousness of men and women the fact of the actual existence of the masters, we proceeded through a series of conferences and councils in order to devise ways and means of bringing the living presence of these masters to the acceptance of the people of Earth, particularly in the Western Hemisphere, where the vital energies which would promulgate action were incorporated into the incarnate souls. The East, which has accepted long since the universal presence of the Holy Ones, was destined to transfer the spiritual currents and impetus which she had guarded for ages into the Western Hemisphere, and it was imperative before the spiritual activity took place that some Western life streams know of the existence of the ascended hierarchy and come forth as a guard before the knowledge of the sacred fire could be given, which would accompany the cosmic release from the great ray at Lake Titicaca. Therefore, Blavatsky, Leadbeater, Olcott, Besant, and Judge were among the thousands whose glorious causal bodies were signified that they were ready and capable of rendering this service. The few who accepted the opportunity at first formed the nucleus of the Theosophical Society, and with their own bodies broke through the veil of materialism, thus making the opening wedge through which the interest of the students of the Law of Life was turned toward the various members of the Brotherhood, who up to that time were not even intellectually accepted as having existence, not to mention intelligence or individuality. The outpouring through the Theosophical Society was primarily through the Wisdom Ray, and many were the hours of the days and nights I sat, together with El Morya, Kuthumi, Serapis, and Saint Germain, and poured through the mind of Blavatsky the wisdom which she wrote in The Secret Doctrine, The Voice of Isis, and the other volumes, many of which are yet secreted in the Master's Retreats. We endeavored to incorporate into the volumes as much of the truth as could be understood, the same truth that is contained in the Vedas of India, the Upanishads, and the same truth that is in all the secret writings that have come down as the heritage of man, many of which are guarded in Tibet and China and the various retreats of the Brotherhood throughout the world. Even then, our good instrument was accused of plagiarism, but it will ever be thus when truth is revealed for the reason that it will always have had an earlier revelation, and the later revelations will essentially have to be confirmations of the eternal verities, regardless of the fact that their exponents are accused of merely copying the older teachings. The amount of energy we were given by the cosmic law in that century was expended in drawing the wisdom of the ages into these documents. The members of the society, except in rare instances contributing little of their own energies in expiating the karma of the race or helping the souls of men to return to the law, a balance for the investment of our energies, remaining content to confine their energies to an interest in the new knowledge. When we had used up as much energy as the law would allow us, we had to close that book of wisdom and wait for a new outpouring with the change of the century. It was at this time that the Master Saint Germain determined to draw the power ray and made preparations to form another group of dedicated life streams, stimulate their interest in the Masters, and couple the newer endeavor with cooperative application wherein, impersonally, in an individual and group activity, the energy given us for the 20th century might spread over a wider range, thus procuring for us a greater dispensation from the karmic board to reach sensitive spirits through the release of energy in invocation and decree. You will see by a moment's contemplation that in order to complete the cycle, we had to have the action of divine love, the three plumes of the one flame, the completion of the one project, and it is only to be regretted that, as always, through human representatives, each plume of the one flame is forced to maintain a separate existence, although it is a recognized truth that even the deity, the very heart of the universal, must be threefold in order to express perfect balance and mastery. For those who care to look for the thread of truth beneath the ornate embroidery, it will be clearly seen that the wisdom and intelligent understanding in the mind, which was so evident in the early and earnest Theosophist, was muted in the second activity, the accent being placed on the power flame, and that our endeavor now to draw the light of truth from both and balance it through loving harmony also faces the danger of deterioration if our followers persist in working solely on the love ray without application and understanding. The blessed Chelas who wish to serve with us need to practice drawing forth, molding, and expanding the primal life essence, qualifying it by divine wisdom, power, and love in action. If I could show you the design of Lord Maitreya for the great ceremonial activities of the future in which all the wealth and wisdom of those earlier spiritual endeavors would be incorporated, it would make your hearts very happy, and I shall endeavor as quickly as possible to do so. I would like you to see that the balance of energy for the dispensations by which we help the race is given through the application of the students for the forwarding of the progress of the race as a whole, and that the wisdom which comes with understanding will enable each person to become that threefold God nature of love, wisdom, and power in himself. We are happy to say that in the middle of the 20th century, we have more of the energy given us by the cosmic law as we had when the outpouring of the second activity first began, due to the energies released through the student body, and this enables us to do in one century what would otherwise have taken many if this release had not been forthcoming. As the actual dynamic application of separate individuals and a collective student body have all been incorporated in about 15 years of this first 50, you will see how we can hasten in the next 50 the progress of the planet by about 4 or 5 centuries, which accounts for the change in the year of fulfillment, according to our original prognostications as set forth in the early days of the original Theosophical Society. If 15 years can give us back a balance of 100 years of energy, in the next 50 or 60 years, we should see tremendous strides in the evolution of the race. Unfortunately, however, the tendency of human beings is, when they are freed from individual and collective endeavor, to swing to the other side of the pendulum, but we feel that an understanding of the complete picture should keep each soul centered in both the receiving and giving of pure life essence, so that individual development may not be neglected in corporate service, nor the corporate service for the whole be neglected in individual endeavor. Trusting that this explanation may be of interest to the earnest student, I'm blessing each one for the gift of his or her life for the perfection of the whole. I am your friend, your counselor, and your comforter. The activity at the retreat of Pallas Athena and Hilarion, situated on the island of Crete, active from October 15th to November 14th, 1953, was amazing. The particular experiences of Hilarion as St. Paul, being so fixed in the minds and consciousness of the Christian people, gave a great opportunity to the Holy Christ Self of every member of the race to reach the outer mind of the lower self. The flash of illumination and understanding that transformed the tyrant and aggressor into the follower and apostle is merely a forerunner of the instantaneous illumination that it is possible to achieve in a cosmic measure for thousands of life streams when we have instruments strong enough to feed them, to balance them, and to hold them in the middle of the path after such an awakening. It would be to no purpose to render the service previously to such a preparatory development on behalf of those of you who will be our hands, our hearts, and our lips. For to awaken the spirit in a man and then not sustain his enthusiasm would be more harmful than to let him sleep a little while longer. Some have slept for millions of years, but when the race awakens this time, there will never be another soul sleep. It is the divine decree, and those of us here and those of you there are working together now toward that great day. Neglect not, therefore, your personal application and your calls for the freedom of all life, for your attention to these obligations is what determines the value of your service. Maha Chohan.